Thanks for joining the podcast with Tamara Gondor. Conversations with everyday innovators that reject status quo, think differently, and make a positive difference in their world. Listen in so you can ignite innovation, influence others, and make an impact too. And now your host, CrossFit addict, knee-high sock lover, and according to her kids, average cook, Tamara Gondor.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to With Tamara podcast. I'm so excited for today. As you all know, we have been doing a great series with everyday innovators, people like you and me who have done extraordinary things, who have dialed up the innovation to gain a little bit of success, to think a little bit differently in their industry, to create breakthroughs. So we are going to learn from one today who I have known for, I don't know, maybe it's been like 4 or 5 years now. I'm not even sure, but I've always admired a little bit from a distance because I've watched him build businesses and grow businesses and just take a little bit of a different path. And I think it's pretty exciting. I'm going to let him introduce himself. But before I do that, I just want to remind you all watching live, welcome. If you're an everyday innovator out there, we'd love to have you on. So go to our website, go to LaunchRead, and you can submit a nomination form for yourself or someone else there. If you want to know your everyday innovator style, that's on the website too. It's all there. That's the hub of everyday innovator everything. And if you're on with us live, guess what? I got the chat bar up and you can ask questions to Jacob or to myself and I will try to get to as many as I can. All right. With that, Jacob, welcome to the show. It's good to see your face.
Likewise. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. It's good to see you again. I know it's been a little bit.
Yeah, it's been a couple years.
Yeah. So my name is Dr. Jacob Weinstein. I'm an acute care nurse practitioner here in Denver, Colorado, and I own two businesses. One is a learning management system that provides a platform for businesses and for healthcare providers to take continuing education. And the other one is a concierge medical business that provides functional medicine and peptide therapy and hormone balancing for people here in Denver, and then also telehealth for people who live out of state.
So can I ask you a quick question, Jacob? Because I've seen you launch both of these businesses and I've heard you and we've had conversations about the opportunities. For both of those, I'm just curious how you identified a need or an opportunity that you could go in and own or do something with.
So I started out as an EMT in Milwaukee many years ago, and I went to paramedic school and then went to nursing school and finished a master's and then a doctorate. And along the way, working as a paramedic, I had to recertify every 2 years. Mm-hmm. And you have to take continuing education hours or credits, just like a bunch of other different professions. And the way in which the education is delivered is, you know, in the past it had been like consolidated weekends or consolidated days where you're packed into a classroom for
like
8 hours.
10 hours of sitting there.
Yes. Yeah. And it's just, you know, they're just trying to cram 48 or 60 hours into a couple of days so you can get all your CEUs and you can get relicensed. And that's not how people learn.
I know. How much have you been retained with that?
Very little. So yeah. People learn in tidbits. That's why podcasts and Wees and things like that are 10 minutes long, is because that's the attention span of people. Yeah. So, and you really don't engage the learner. So MedEd Now was started on the premise that we need to be engaging with learners on their level in a format that they can actually retain the information and that they can deploy that information in their profession immediately.
So were you just, can I ask you a question? Were you just sitting in class one day, like, what the heck? Like, this cannot be the only way to do this. Cause I'm with you in a lot of things where you have to recertify whatever industry that is. It's like, you're on a webinar or you're in person for like 30 hours straight. And then they like check you off because you were physically there.
Right. It's just, I think I just checked out, you know, like mentally, yeah. you're not listening anymore. And so I'm thinking, you know, there's got to be a better way to do this. And I think my biggest frustration as an educator, because I also do some teaching for nurse practitioner students, is that the information that was being delivered was not anything new. It wasn't evidence-based practice. It wasn't the latest and greatest. It wasn't keeping people engaged in the industry that they've chosen to be a part of. And I think that was really frustrating. And they're essentially just checking a box, like you said. And yeah. So like, oh, I got my hours, I'm good to go, I can recertify, but are you really staying current? Are you really doing the best for your patients by having that information?
So I love about what you're saying is, and I want all of us to listen to, is like you said it, right? You said there's gotta be a better way than like what's happening. And I feel like so many of us overlook those moments of there's gotta be a better way, but you actually took action on it, which is really what led to that business. So I think that's really exciting. Is that what happened with the mobile business too, with the more concierge style, where you're like, this cannot be how it's done?
I think so mobile care relaunched earlier this year after the pandemic. And I went to the doctor's office, must have been like a year and a half ago. I was 10 minutes late parking the car, and I walked in, and by the time I got in, I was 12 minutes late, and they said, your appointment's canceled. That's it. You have to reschedule. And so
seems I think so it's unfair. Just
so, I mean, you know, I tend to run a little bit late, but you know, it shouldn't be that big of a deal, and they shouldn't be rescheduling people. And it's such, accessing the healthcare system is such a pain for people. Like, why do you have to take a half day off work? Why does it have to be a big deal to get your labs drawn? Why can't you get that at home or in your office? Why can't someone come to you with everything? We used to do this not even, you know, 50, 60 years ago. We used to do this. Doctors, you know, would come to your house and provide care. Well, now with the technology that we have and the size of equipment and stuff, you know, I can roll up to somebody's home or office. We can do all their labs right there. We can do imaging right there in their house. We can do a ton of different stuff for them, you know, right then and there, a portable ultrasound, portable lab, you know, a bunch of portable stuff. And it makes it easier for people to be healthier. And it actually makes it more enjoyable instead of being such a pain to go to the doctor.
So what I really appreciate about both of those two is I feel like you solved a problem, not that I didn't know I had, but that I was willing to deal with because I didn't know there was a better way. So like, I think particularly with healthcare, just in all truth, right, I expect it to be complicated and I expect it to be frustrating and I expect it to be a burden on me to deal with it. And I love that you kind of came in and were like, hold up, we don't have to make it that way. We can actually make it better. And I think there's a lot of opportunity out there for people listening, of opportunities for innovation where we just assume the frustration has to be the way it is. And I really admire, Jacob, people like you who aren't willing to take that frustration and just let it be. I think that's very cool.
Yeah, I think we've all collectively, especially in the American healthcare system, have gotten used to that. Just, you just walk in the door, you know that it's going to be grief and frustration, and people have come to accept that, and it doesn't need to be.
So you've got these two incredible businesses, one in kind of the learning space and one in the healthcare space. What have been some of the biggest challenges you faced, and how have you overcome them?
I think the biggest challenge for both businesses has really been marketing, mm-hmm. is getting the word out about both of them in a way that individual clients can use the businesses. And they're two very different, two different businesses. So for MedEd Now, we have individual clients who come on board who want to get recertified. But then we also service all sorts of companies who have educational needs for their people. And so the focus there is on compliance and reports and training that they can build at their company and hold people accountable and still be able to monitor them. And so accessing businesses and showing them how easy it is to create a learning management, you know, use a learning management system to their advantage to keep people up to date, trained, and certified has been, you know, has been an ongoing challenge, but, you know, one that we're getting, you know, more and more people day by day, and the word's getting out there. So, and I think once people see how well it works for them and how it reduces, you know, can reduce injuries, reduces actual training time, reduces labor costs, and allows people to have access to a central hub of information, kind of solves multiple issues for small and even larger companies at the same time.
Hey, let me ask you a quick question on that, because you said something really important. I don't want to go too fast over it. You said once people see, right, how easy it is, what do you think is one of the challenges when you're putting a new idea out into the world that's a little bit more innovative? It's not how we're doing it right now. And it's been my experience that actually our biggest competitor is inertia, like people just doing things the way they've always done them. It's not necessarily like me versus the 10 other people in my space. It's actually me versus doing what people have always done. How did you think about helping your potential clients get over that hurdle?
So I think when you're talking about innovation for something, I have my ideas of what I'm innovating for,
yeah,
and how I want them to work. And a client may see something very different in what they need for their business. So I think that it's important to like step back and see, am I innovating for the business and for the client as I see how I want it to grow, or do I need to listen what is it that they need and what are they trying to solve for, and can that innovation bridge the gap for them? So and to that end, when I'm thinking about how both businesses have innovated, I think that, you know, when we innovate, is that innovation, is that solving a particular problem at a particular point in time, or is that innovation something that's scalable and that the business moves in that direction, and that it's not just, okay, we're going to innovate for this client and this is great because it meets their needs and then we move on? Or is this something, hey, we need to look at this as a potential scalable option in the business, because if one person is asking for it, more people will, and right, then we need to shift things in that direction.
I just want to take a second. I'm like chomping at the bit over here. I love what you just said about, like, you've got an idea of what the innovation can do, like your product, your service, your ideas, but you got to listen to what the client wants, your customer, whether that's internal leadership or, like in your case, clients, but actually creating that bridge between the two. I think all too often we get so wrapped up in what you think the vision is of it that we forget to listen to the people on the other side of the table, what they need their vision to be. So I just want to take a second and just let that sink in for everybody, because I thought that was just brilliant. And if I was not on camera, I'd be taking notes, but I'll just go back and listen to my own podcast. What have been some of your biggest wins, or what are you most proud of?
I think recently some big wins for me have with MobileCare have been that I've been able to take care of artists and entertainers that have come through Denver, which, wow, if you had told me 6 months ago, you know, I wouldn't have believed it. So so that's been a big feather in my cap to be able to, you know.
Are you allowed to name any?
I unfortunately cannot, but, you know, it's been a big win for me to be able to take care of people. For Meta now, we handle the eighth largest fire department in the U.S., with over 2,000 active firefighters. And so that's a big win. That's a big department with a lot of complex systems and training that goes on day to day.
Okay, two things. One is, I think it's super cool that, not that they're celebrities, but to think about like people who are passing through and that they can get access to the medical care or whatever services they need. Like, what a great service to have. Like, what a great branch off of your kind of core business. I would have never thought of that personally, ever. And the second part is, you just made me think, God, if I were an employer out there, I would be hiring you, because what a great benefit to my team, right? To have services come to me, because like you said, leaving to go to the doctor or to go get your Medi Spa, whatever it is, right? That takes time and energy and frustration. And then you've got a meeting that runs over, and then like you're 12 minutes late and the doctor cancels on you. So like, what a great, I love those wins because I just think, I don't know, here's my question to you about them. Did you expect either of those two things, or were they kind of branches that like to your point, you listened and happened naturally?
So with mobile care, I think the key was picking up the phone. You know, I picked up the phone late at night. I made myself available, and I spend time listening to people. So I've been able to take care of artists and celebrities as they've come through town. So, and that's, that's been a really, been really amazing. It's been a really good thing. So, and with the other business with MedEd now, fire departments are, it's a small industry, right? There's only so many in the US, and there's only a couple hundred thousand, firefighters and EMTs and paramedics all together. So it's actually a pretty small community, despite having so many people. And what they were looking for was really being able to track and provide compliance for a large group of people. And so the system was custom built around those needs, and that branched out to other businesses who need to have the same level of compliance. They just don't have firefighters. They have people operating machinery. They have people in human resources who need to be, how you hire people, how you fire people, how you do sales. All those things need compliance and oversight, and the system provides that.
You know, Jacob, I think it goes back to what you were saying about listening. So I was just in Miami for a keynote for Building and Construction Group, an amazing group of leaders. And one of the things that I was sharing from the stage was about if you don't know what your secret sauce is, like why people hire you, what they want, ask, because it's amazing how much we don't know. And one of the questions I was saying is like, what benefit do we provide to you? Like, why do you pay us? And what I've come to realize in my world, and I think you just said it, and it wasn't what I expected you to say at all, is it's not always our core product and service that we think it is, right? So it's not always, like for me, what really led me to create a business that was around everyday innovation, everyday innovators, wasn't the new product services I was providing, because I would build new products and services for companies all the time. I thought that was it. What I found out when I talked to them was, no, Tamar, it's not the products you provide, like when you give us new products to launch, like that's great, we need that, that's what we're kind of paying you to do. What they told me was, actually, the reason we hire you is because you make us feel like we can be innovators and we're part of the process too. Like any consultant can come up with new ideas, but you make us a part of the process, and that's why we hire you. And I think kind of what you just said about they were looking for compliance and kind of other tracking, to me is a great example of, if we ask, it's amazing what we find out, like where our value really sits.
Yeah, and I think that all ties in with healthcare, with when you're talking to a patient or whether you're talking to a client. I think people frequently make the mistake of, they say they're listening, but they're not listening. They're thinking about how they're going to respond. And so when you're thinking about, ooh, I've got this tidbit of information to add, or I've got this to chime in on, instead of just listening to what they have to say and digesting and chewing on that, and then, trying to be empathetic, which I think is kind of a lost art today, yeah. is to try and have some empathy for someone in that situation. How are they trying to advance their business? How are they trying to advance their people? And how can I help them with that? And understanding their point of view and their role.
Yeah, I think sometimes we forget that the person that we're trying to get buy-in from, whether that's a sale or like a yes from leadership, they have their own pressures and their own to-dos and their own deadlines. And we get so frustrated because they don't buy into whatever it is we're putting on their plate, but we forget their plate has a million other things on it. And we don't take the time to really understand, to your point, where they're coming from, not just from a, like, what do they get out of my product or service or my idea, but also what are they dealing with and how do I connect with them in a way that is meaningful because I understand that?
Absolutely. I think empathy is a huge piece to, you know, just business every day. So, and I think it goes to show that you're not just doing the job, but that you actually care about the other person. So I will give you an example. I recently took care of an artist that came through town, and her manager was clearly overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And I asked her how she was doing, and she paused, and I thought she was gonna cry. And she said, nobody asks me how I'm doing. And I said, well, I'm asking you how you're doing and I want to know. So let's talk. And I think when you just take a minute and give people the space for that, that goes a long way, whether it's, you know, as a medical professional or whether it's in the world of business, is to just take a minute and let people talk to you and let them know how you're doing, how they're
and really,
doing.
To your point, really listen. We don't have time to share the whole story, but I'll just tell you very quickly because I think you'll appreciate it. I have a mentor who's a professor of marketing at CU Boulder. And a couple of years ago, he was lamenting to me that he felt like the students had no empathy for other people in other situations. A lot of them come from very high socioeconomic backgrounds, and which is fine, but like they just, you know, in marketing, you got to understand other people's shoes. And he said, you know, it's frustrating because I'm trying to teach them marketing, but they have no empathy. Like they couldn't understand why everybody doesn't buy organic all the time. Like, why wouldn't you just shop at Whole Foods all the time? And so he and I created this project where they go to Walmart, and I love Walmart, and they go and they don't talk to people now with COVID and everything. It's changed a little bit, but they used to go talk to them and understand like why they have the things in the shopping cart. Why is the whole family at the grocery store together? Now they do more observational because you can still learn a lot, but it's opened people's eyes that not everybody has the same thoughts that they do. And I think that's part of what you're saying with empathy is like listening to other people's perspectives. I want to ask you a couple more questions. So what is one innovative thing that you've done, big or small, in your businesses that have helped you stand out from the crowd or just get an edge in getting success?
So I think for MedEd Now, we were able to retool the system to do license tracking specific to what the client's needs are. So for us, for EMTs and paramedics, people have to have so many hours and so many categories and so many subcategories every 2 years. But we were able to take that system and be able to apply it to other industries. Mm-hmm. So if you're operating a plant and somebody is working on a piece of machinery, we're able to create a license and say, this is the license for plant operator one, and they require this amount of hours in these categories and subcategories. And that helps with recurrency training, that helps with keeping people safe, and it helps with cutting down actual labor costs and getting people trained on site when they can do stuff online and virtual. So I think that's been a big innovation there.
Yeah.
And then with mobile care, it's the ability to reinvent mobile healthcare. Is to, you know, we have all this stuff that actually is pretty compact, and I can head over to somebody's home or office and draw their labs. I have a portable ultrasound machine. You know,
so
we
cool.
can bring all the care to them right then and there, and you know, figure out what's going on, and be able to treat them right then and there.
Where do you get your inspiration for innovation, for thinking differently? I think you're really good at seeing different ways things can be done. And I'm just curious, if you thought about it for a minute, where do you think that comes from?
I think part of it comes from frustration. So
I love that.
Like personally, like this can't be the only way to do this.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think all of us encounter that every day, you know, whether it's, you know, pumping gas or checking out for groceries, you just think like, man, this is annoying. And I think a lot of people just let it go. They're like, well, this is annoying and I'm going to tolerate it. Or, you know, this is frustrating that my appointment's canceled because I'm running 10 minutes late.
But that's how it works.
Because that's how it works. Yeah. And I think that complacency or acceptance of things, as I've gotten older, is just something that I've said, no, there's got to be a better way to do this. And so let's sit down and think about it. And how can people better access this? And how can we provide a better service when you're frustrated? Yeah. So.
I love it. There's so many frustrating moments. So I have a question. It goes back to empathy from the audience. So I want to make sure we don't miss it. It's from Jerry. And hold on, where are my glasses? Got time. Gotta need glasses. So it's age, what can I say? So the question is, I loved your comments about empathy. I try really hard to be more empathetic. I feel like the people around me are so stressed out. They're having a hard time being present. But in our meetings in particular, we need everybody there and really connecting. You seem really good at it. What do you do to just stay in the moment or stay present enough to be empathetic? Great question. I think they're absolutely right, too. I think presence does drive empathy. And you can't have one without the other.
I think... we teach this in some of our classes when we talk about mental health, first responder mental health. And it's really hard. And mental health is obviously, a huge topic in the corporate world as well as, for medical professionals. I think people struggle with what to say. And I think often they try and say something that's forced, or they try and say something that's complicated. And empathy doesn't need to be complicated. You just need to take a step back in your mind and try and appreciate if you're this person's supervisor, what is their role and how do you perceive it? And I think when you understand those things, that you may have a glimpse into how they feel. But the things to say are that I'm here. Mm-hmm. I care about you. I care about the work that you do. And I tell people all the time that you are entitled to happiness. And happiness for people is different. Yeah. Every person's happiness is different. And happiness isn't a destination. You don't get there. You have happiness at moments in your life. And you have other moments that aren't as happy. But I think reminding people that you're entitled to happiness and that I'm here for you and I want to listen to you and I want to better understand what's going on gives them the space and time to talk. And then that is the time for you, for the person asking the question, for you to be empathetic, is to listen and understand where they are coming from.
And this is great advice. And from your perspective, how does empathy help you drive innovation in your business? You've seen the connection between the two.
So the connection that I see is when you are speaking with somebody and you are empathetic to their situation, my vision of the business and the direction it wants to go in may be in one lane, and how they access and how they use the business or the services may be two lanes over. But when you're sitting there and listening to them and they're saying, well, these are the things that I need, and it may not come out exactly like that, sure. But that's the message, is that these are the things that I need in order to take care of my 2,000 people. Well, okay. That's not the direction that I was going in, but now I know this is what you were looking for. And so let's see how we can bridge that gap.
I love it. So empathy leads to the connection that allows you to build the business. That's a very simple way of saying it. I really appreciate what you said, by the way, about empathy. It can be simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. And sometimes I hear you. right, is enough. Like, it doesn't even have to be more than that. So he's so interesting to me because, so you are a risk taker inquisitive, right? Those are your power triggers in your everyday innovator style. And what I find so interesting about this interview is, like, I keep hearing you talk about asking questions and listening and digging deeper. And that is definitely the inquisitive side. I can hear how that's driven how you approach your business, your communication, your connection, where you find innovation and those frustrations. Because a lot of time inquisitives are really good at challenging assumptions. And then risk takers, that's one of mine too, is we tend to leap and then figure it out. Like, we want to get uncomfortable because in that uncomfortable space, we actually innovate best. While most people, like, on the ledge to innovate, we're like, no, I'll leap and, like, figure it out as I go. Not to be reckless, but that uncomfortable is good for us, right? Do you feel that?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I when people call and ask for something and I think, well, I don't, you know, maybe the thought through my head is, well, I don't do that. And then the next thought is, okay, well, let's figure it out.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna, you know, we'll try and do that and we'll, you know, jump into the deep end, you know, feet first and figure it out. So,
I love the language you just use, such a risk taker. Like, we'll just jump into the deep end and figure it out. So I really appreciate that because that is how I roll. I almost work backwards sometimes because I, like, jump and then I'm like, well, now that I'm here, let me figure out how to swim. Like, we'll figure this out. And 99.99% of the time it works out, right? Because staying on the ledge, I think, if you ask me, is worse because that means most of the time you're doing nothing. As a risk taker inquisitive, what's your advice to other everyday innovators out there that are looking to ignite innovation and as you said, like, and find that happiness and that success in the way that they want?
I think the biggest things are when you're talking to clients is understanding your vision of the business versus their how they want to access things. So, like, if you talk to anybody about healthcare as a provider, you know, you have I have in my mind, like, all these things that I would need to do for somebody. But when you ask somebody, like, well, I just want to get my labs and I want to get my results tomorrow. Okay.
Right. Simple.
Yeah. We can make that happen. That's not a big deal. It's not that complicated. Right. So I think just taking the time to understand where they're at and how I think their vision of things is almost as important as their access to the system or the platform, or in my case, with mobile care, to the provider, is, you know, how much better is it to be able to text somebody and say, hey, you know, I've got a fever and, you know, some congestion and, you know, I think I have an upper respiratory infection or something, versus going through the big hoopla of making an appointment online and all, you know, all these other hoops to jump through when you can just pick up the phone and call somebody. So, same thing with, you know, I think businesses with groups of employees, it makes it better for them too. So to say, like, hey, we can have somebody in here once a month who can help us adjust their diets and keep them healthy and reduces downtime and reduces, you know, sick costs and those kinds of things.
So there's Jacob, thank you so much. Came out of this. Before I ask you kind of the final question, I just, in my head, summing it up, what I really hear you saying is think about your vision and then be open and empathetic and listen to what that the stakeholder on the other side, what their vision is, and find the bridge that brings them together, versus what I think a lot of us do when we're trying to, like, push to the next level is we take our vision and we hold so true to it that we try to shove that vision onto the person that we're trying to convince. And as I tell people all the time, people don't fear change, they fear being changed. So there's no room for that, I think, if you're constantly pushing. So what I really appreciate about this conversation, what I'm really taking away, is that really thinking about, like, what's my vision, but what's their vision, and having that. I'm so glad we had this whole conversation about empathy, but because to me, that is the bridge that you've been talking about that brings them together. It's really powerful.
Yes, and I think the one thing that I would add to that is that when you're building those bridges, that you look at this and say, is this a bridge for a client at a particular point in time, or is this a bridge that's scalable that's an innovation for the business, and that's a direction that the business needs to move in.
I'm going to ask you an offshoot question before I get to the last one. Do you ever say no to a possible bridge? Like, sometimes I think I can also get too thin and too scattered and say yes too much. And then it becomes, you know, it's like putting all the Crayolas into the melting pot, and then you just get a black color. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I there are things that I've said no to, especially with MedEd Now, and that relates more to infrastructure, coding and technology infrastructure. So, but I do take the time for people to understand why it's a no. And I think that's more important than telling people no, is for them to understand why you're not able to do it and what the costs are involved with it. And so when people really understand the rationale, when people can understand the why, then they're, at least more agreeable or more accepting of it.
So that's interesting. I don't think we spend enough time closing the lid on our no's versus pursuing our yeses. And I would venture, correct me if I'm wrong, but I would venture to say that's probably led to business in other ways by making that effort. I've never really thought about that.
Sure. I mean, because then, then we look at, we look at innovating in a different way. When somebody asks for this, and say like, look, that's just not possible. There's too many costs involved, and these are the hurdles that we would have to overcome. But let's look at your issue and see how else we can solve for it.
Well, that goes back to what you're saying about empathy and listening. Like, I think what's on the surface, when we solve what's on the surface, we actually miss opportunity. We got to go deeper. I can't believe we're out of time, because I feel like I could just keep talking to you. What's one thing, this is the last question, what's one thing we'd be surprised to learn about you?
I've done a lot of medevac work. So I've been to Afghanistan a bunch of times and Dubai a bunch of times. And I got to hike to the to Everest base camp.
Oh, cool.
So that was pretty amazing. I've been skydiving 3 times, and the second time the parachute didn't open up all the way.
Stop it.
So, yep, it was very exciting to get a second free fall.
So. Did it finally open? Like, what do you do in that situation?
I didn't do anything, because I wasn't, it was a tandem jump, and the chute didn't open up all the way. And the guy said, oh, get back in the free fall position. And the main chute just went off into the wind and free fall for another couple seconds, and then deployed the reserve chute.
It gives me palpitations every time.
It's
like one of my big dreams is to go skydiving. And you'll appreciate this. I called my dad, who's Israeli and was in the Israeli military. And I said, hey, Abba, let's go skydiving. I was like, I really want to go. And he's like, I used to jump into enemy lines. Like, why would I pay somebody to go skydiving? And I was like, because I want to go. He was not a youth. All right, Jacob, thank you. If you're out there listening, just, hey, do me a favor and give us put in the comments, whether you're watching on Facebook or LinkedIn, what you learned out of this. Jacob, you were so giving your advice and just sharing your experiences. So thank you for that. There are just so many nuggets of wisdom in this. I just think there's so many of us out there doing amazing things, and we need to give more of a showcase for that, for people like you. So thank you for me, this is the first one of the week. So I appreciate that. I appreciate your giving of your knowledge and your time.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. So it's been great to share with everybody and to listen.
And I will, so everyone knows, I will put the links in the, when we release the podcast and some, and on the other pages for the live, so that I would definitely encourage you to go check out his 2 businesses and what he's up to. I think just even
congratulations. By listening to this podcast, you took another step towards becoming an everyday innovator. To leap forward, visit www.gotolaunchstreet.com and take the Innovation Quotient Edge Assessment to discover your unique everyday innovator style, and access the Everyday Innovator Digital Magazine for the top tools, insights, and inspiration at your fingertips 24/7. Tamara will be back with another Everyday Innovator conversation soon. In the meantime, if you got a nugget of value out of this podcast, let Tamara know by leaving a 5-star review and comment. Your review equals more guests, more listens, bigger impact. Until next time.